Isn't it good to be in God's house this morning?
Yes.
Yes. Father, we just give you free rule and permission to do whatever it is that you want to do with your people. We open up our hearts as the word goes forth. Touch, cause us to be changed, rearranged, and set on the battlefield for you to do the work that you've ordained for us to do. We love you and we give you honor for these things in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to start off with a prophetic word that God gave Pastor Barber, April 23rd. You should have gotten this in your email. It says, "My church is exactly that. My church. It does not belong to the peoples. It does not belong to the enemy. It belongs to me. And I am leading, guiding, and directing those who are truly my church at this given time. And I am asking my church to lay down her life for me and follow me with every fiber of their being and obey my voice at all costs. Yes, the winds of adversity are blowing. And yes, it seems as if the enemy is winning. But you all know that is not the truth. If you have read my word, then you know that the enemy has already lost. Take up your cross, church, and follow me. And allow me to take you into the promised land. The land that is flowing with milk and honey. The land that is full of my blessings. The land where the river banks overflow and all are healed. Follow me, church. I will lead you into life everlasting." It's a powerful word, and it's right on time because we are experiencing a severe amount of adversity, trials, tribulations, whatever you want to call it. We all know that the witchcraft prayers have been sent, witchcraft people have been sent into this house to try to destroy and stop what God is doing. And we all have to come into unity in one mind and one accord so that these attacks can be stopped. There is no more, never has been, but just for the record, there is no more one man show. It's a team effort that God is putting forth. And we all have to move as a unit, as a team, for us to be successful and to do what God is calling us forth to do. It doesn't matter what your specific task is, do it. Do it with all of your heart, do it with all of your might. As you do your part, God will jump in there and do his part, and everybody will be able to flow together. Everybody will be able to receive as you're doing your part that God has given you to do. No one is more important than the other. We all need each other in this hour. We cannot make it by ourselves. God has put us in a body for us to build one another up, to edify one another, and yes, correct one another when the time comes for correction. You have to have those course corrections. Course corrections are not a bad thing. It's just realigning yourself with the will of God and getting in there doing what he wants you to do. If you don't, you're not going to hit the mark. You're not going to hit the target that he's ordained for us to hit. And that is the enemy. Who wants to lose? I don't. God does not want us to lose. He is ordained for us to win. He's ordained for us to prosper, not only financially, but spiritually in all things. That is going to come as we get in one mind and one accord, as we get in unity with the Holy Spirit and allow him to do the things that he wants to do. There's a lot of things that are going on behind the scenes that are good in the Lighthouse Church. God has spoken to our leader, our pastor, and said, "I want you to do this, have this set up, have this prayer team do this, have this prayer team do this, have this deliverance team do that." It's all coming together according to what God wants to do. And we shouldn't be looking at that prayer team saying, I'm better than them. I know how to pray more than them. I know how to do this better than them. No, they have a function. They have a purpose. And if it's not being done, something's missing. Something's missing. And God has set it up so that nothing is missing in this house. So if you feel a temptation or urge to become offended or to become jealous of another team that God has set up, please get it under the blood of Jesus Christ. Confess it before God, because God has given you something specific. And if we're getting caught up in being jealous of another team member or another specific team that God has set up, you're not doing your job. So you're leaving us open. You're leaving us exposed when you should be concentrating on the task and the assignment that God has for you to do. Ask anybody in the military. Each little thing is important. The person that washes the trucks is very, very important. The person that fuels the trucks. If they don't fuel the airplanes when they go off the aircraft carrier, they cannot carry their payload and destroy the enemy. Everything that you do is important. You need to understand that, and you need to not take it lightly. The thing that we're going to be talking about this morning is called unconventional warfare. Unconventional warfare. If you don't know it, the things in war have changed. We're constantly having to adapt because the enemy is adapting. He studied us. He knows us. He knows everything about us. So he knows what our weaknesses are. He knows what our strengths are. And he's designed tactics. He's designed strategies to come against us to pull us off God's plan and off God's path. So if we go into it with the mindset of, I have to pray a certain way, I have to fast a certain way, I have to lay out before the Lord a certain way, the devil's already studied that. All right, I know Sister So-and-so is going to do this. So I'm going to get her focused and concentrated on that one thing. And I'm going to attack in a whole different area. Be aware of that. That goes on. We cannot get caught up in the method of what is to be done. We need to be following the Spirit. If you're following the Spirit, the methods will come. God will tell you how to do each and everything. We have amongst us, I'm going to call them our covert op team. Nobody knows who they are, but they pray. They pray consistently. They get assignments sent in. Nobody needs to know who they are, but they're doing their job in conjunction with the regular prayer team. We all know who the deliverance team people are. All of us need to be covering in prayer each of these teams, because their functions are important to the body of Christ and to the mission that is going forth in this place. Unconventional warfare. Because if we get caught up in a method, or if we get caught up in, it has to be done this way, it has to be said that way, it's a trap. It's a trap set up for us by our own selves, for the enemy to have us fall into and miss what God is doing. This is Shemot 15:3, which is Exodus 15:3. And I pulled this out of the Orthodox Jewish Bible. And it says, Hashem is an Ish Melkamesh, Melkama, Hashem Shmo. Translated, the Lord is a warrior. Yes, Jehovah is his name. We have every reason to believe the word of God. Our God is a God of war, says John Ramirez. God's heart is set on destroying the works of Satan's kingdom. Do you have God's heart? Are you functioning and doing the things that God wants you to do? You should not be content with church as usual. You should not be content with just doing the mundane things that come with being a Christian, being religious. John Ramirez goes on to say, I don't understand why the church tolerates the very things God hates. The church finds itself in bed with the devil, but Jesus came to destroy the devil and his cronies. God has vengeance in his heart to destroy every aspect of the enemy's kingdom with a rage and fury. Doing this through his church, whether it's spirits of sickness, divorce, tormenting spirits, spirits of wickedness, homosexuality, and every principality and every territorial demon, starting from the second and the first heaven all the way down to the earth. John Ramirez. John Ramirez, for those of you who don't know, is an ex-warlock who controlled the region of New York and a good part of the East Coast. He was on the inside, on the other side, and he knows what the enemy is doing to the church. He himself had such a hatred for the church that he performed many assignments against Christians because he wanted to destroy them, because he hated them because of what Christians did to him. They weren't loving. They weren't kind. They didn't show him the true gospel. So he took that to a whole nother level in his witchcraft and his Satanism. And he went after us with a vengeance. He got converted through a mighty miracle of God. So he's given us some secret information about the enemy. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active and full of power, making it operative, energizing, and effective. It is sharper than any two-edged sword, penetrating as far as the division of the soul and spirit, the completeness of a person, and of both joints and marrow, the deepest parts of our nature, exposing and judging the very thoughts and intentions of the heart. And I believe that God wants us to identify here that we're stuck in a mode of warfare that he's trying to get us out of. He's trying to get us into the new mode of warfare so that we can defeat the enemy without having to go through years of torment and struggle and dissatisfaction with what God is doing. So if we become stuck, God sets up these trials and these tribulations to come get us unstuck. It's not his intention and his plan for us to stay in a stagnant position, in a place where we're not growing. So here comes the trials. Here comes the adversity, because it's there to make us cry out to God and pull on his Holy Spirit. If you're not aware how hard things have gotten over the last month or so, you need to check your walk with God. I'm not being ignorant. I'm not being mean, but things have gotten considerably harder, exponentially harder. And if you know the word of God, it says that even in the last days, the very elect will be deceived. And there is so much deception in the church right now because people they know the word of God, but they put their own spin on it. They make it say what they want it to say instead of what God is wanting it to say. And they're walking around doing things that are just dumb. And you're looking like you have a whole bunch of zeal and a whole bunch of love for the Lord, but it's your flesh that's in operation. Stop it. Stop it. Regroup. Do whatever you got to do. Regroup. Get back in the spirit and stay in the spirit. God is a God of reality. He is real. He doesn't play games with his people. He doesn't. God isn't playing games with us. He is carrying out his agenda. Whether you want to believe it or not, his plan is moving forward. Are you going to be a part of that plan? Are you going to be on the front lines where he wants you to be at? Are you going to be stuck in the molly grubs wondering, when is God ever going to use me? This being said, if God is a God of war, then we need to be a people of war. We have to have a warrior mindset. Our heart's desire should be to be more like God. If an attribute of God is to be a warrior, then you need to be a warrior. God is trying to raise up an army of believers who will follow him into battle. It's not our battle, It's his. It's not flesh and blood. It's not against flesh and blood. It's spiritual. We all know this scripture. We quote it all the time. Ephesians 6:12. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, contending only with physical opponents. It's not your wife. It's not your children. It's not your boss. There's spiritual principalities and powers that are set to get you out of your comfort zone. You're being allowed by God to come and to bring a little bit of torment into your life so that you start looking and saying, hey, something's wrong here. Something's wrong with my walk with God and I need to get deeper. I need to go deeper. I'm still using the old ways of warfare and it's not profiting me anything. But against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly supernatural places. The body of Christ needs to come to an understanding that we were raised for such a time as this. You should be so excited right now, not hyped up excited, but excited in the spirit because this is our time. This is what God sent us here for. We all raised our hand when we was in heaven and said, I want to go down at this particular point in time because I want to be a part of that end time army to do the works of the Lord. You made that commitment. It's not an accident that you got saved at this particular point in time. It's not an accident that you started walking in the things of the Spirit at this particular point in time. It's all designed and fixed and ordained by God. Get in the groove and flow with Him. He put His nature down on the inside of us, but we don't quite understand how to walk in that nature. We still haven't come to the understanding that the devil isn't playing. God isn't playing, the devil isn't playing, but the church is playing. The devil is strategizing, organizing, praying against the church each and every second because he is working very hard to destroy us. The devil is strategizing, organizing, praying against the church each and every second because he is working very hard to destroy us. He doesn't like you. He doesn't love you. And if he's giving you something, ultimately that thing that he gives you will destroy you. It will destroy you. You may have fun with it for a little season of time. You may think that you receive this special anointing, but ultimately that special anointing will destroy you if it's not from God. He does this by design. It's calculated. It's on purpose. We've got to change. We've got to flip our mindset. We cannot become rooted and grounded in old methods and old ways of warfare. He already knows it. He already knows what these things are. John Ramirez, I remember when I was a warlock in the demon world. We used to have these meetings once a year, coming together to take over the spirit world, attacking, dismantling, and paralyzing everything that had to do with good that oppressed evil. I remember when I was a warlock in the demon world, we used to have these meetings once a year coming together to take over the spirit world, attacking, dismantling, and paralyzing everything that had to do with good that opposed evil. We would destroy anything that was ready to give birth spiritually. How many people have had their ministries aborted because the enemy came in through a side door and stopped your ministry from going forth? Think about this. Realistically, you should be further along than what you are. But the enemy came in because you were targeted. You have the bullseye on your ministry, on your chest. But you were content with doing things the old way. I'm going to go conventional because this is how I was taught. This is how we used to do it. You can't get stuck there anymore. You have to unstick yourself from that mindset and become unconventional. We would destroy anything that was ready to give birth spiritually so it would not manifest, not allow that person to fulfill their destiny. Whatever region, whatever domain, whatever city or country or community or people or church, before they reached their peak, we would kill it and cut it at the root. This is the enemy. But God has given us dominion and power to trample on snakes and scorpions. We've got to be this focused to go after them. Here's where the church gets dumb. We are not calculated. We are not on purpose unless it serves our personal interests. Then we become very sophisticated and really want the very best. I want to be the best. I want to be seen. I want to be recognized as anointed. I want my name up in light so everyone can come to me. You're really asking for trouble. You are. You want all of these things, and you don't realize that you're setting yourself up for failure. You have a knowledge of the truth, but it's not real in your heart. We know that in this life we are called to lay our lives down for other people. We know that we are to continuously be living sacrifices before God. But yet we cannot grasp the concept that we are at war. We want to play, laugh, and giggle at the enemy with the expectation that the enemy is going to lay down and surrender to us. He's not going to do it. The enemy is not just going to surrender. He's going to keep attacking you and attacking you because he is relentless. I'm a child of God, and God is not going to allow anything bad to happen to me. This is what the church thinks. I'm a child of God, and he is with me at all times, so the devil can't do anything to me. I am sorry. That's not always going to be true. It's not always going to be true. John Ramirez, always know that whatever you're going through, God has already signed off on it because he is trusting you to trust him to bring you out. The church needs to come back to prayer, not to programs or projects or building bigger church buildings while the devil laughs out loud. The early church never built a house of God on programs and projects. It was through prayer and fasting and the word of God. Sometimes you're going to be used by God to prove a point to the devil. Sometimes you are going to be used by God to prove a point to the devil. Sometimes you are going to suffer a loss. This is real. You are going to suffer a loss. Sometimes you're going to be allowed to get hit and to be almost taken out by the enemy. Sometimes the people on your team are going to open doors for you to be attacked, and you will suffer loss because of someone else's stupidity. This will happen to you. You need to be aware of this. Let's look at Joshua chapter 7 in the New King James Version. This is the defeat at Ai. Starting at verse 1. But the children of Israel committed a trespass regarding the accursed things. For Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, took of the accursed things. So the anger of the Lord burned against the children of Israel. Now Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Avon, on the east side of Bethel, and spoke to them, saying, go up and spy out the country. So the men went up and spied out Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said to him, do not let all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and attack Ai. Do not weary all the people there, for the people of Ai are few. So about 3,000 men went up there from the people, but they fled before the men of Ai. And the men of Ai struck down about 36 men, for they chased them from the gate as far as Shabarim and struck them down on the descent. Therefore the hearts of the people melted and became like water. They were upset. This shouldn't be happening. We shouldn't have had to stop what God was doing. Then Joshua tore his clothes and fell to the earth on his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust on their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, Lord God, why have you brought this people over the Jordan at all? Why? To deliver us into the hand of the Amorites, to destroy us. Oh, that we had been content and dwelt on the other side of the Jordan. Oh, Lord, what shall I say when Israel turns its back from its enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land will hear it and surround us and cut off our name from the earth. Then what will you do for your great name?" Joshua was bold. He was bold. He was upset. He was bold because there's no reason in the world they should have lost. There's no reason in the world they should have lost anything. They should have been gaining. The sin of Achan, verse 10. So the Lord said to Joshua, "Get up. Why do you lie thus on your face? Israel has sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant, which I commanded them. For they have even taken some of the accursed things, and have both stolen and deceived. And they have also put it among their own stuff. Therefore the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies because they had become doomed to destruction. Neither will I be with you any more, unless you destroy the accursed from among you." This is what God said to Joshua. "Get up, sanctify the people, and sanctify yourselves for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst. O Israel, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. In the morning, therefore, you shall be brought according to your tribes. And it shall be that the tribe which the Lord takes shall come according to families, and the family which the Lord takes shall come by households. In the household which the Lord takes shall come man by man. Then it shall be that he who is taken with the accursed thing shall be burned with fire, he and all that he has, because he has transgressed the covenant of the Lord, and because he has done a disgraceful thing in Israel." So Joshua rose early in the morning and brought Israel by their tribes, and the tribe of Judah was taken. And he brought the clan of Judah, and he took the family of the Zarhites, and he brought the family of the Zarhites man by man, and Zabdi was taken. Then he brought his household man by man, and Achan, the son of Carmi, the son of Zabdi, the son of Zerah, of the tribe of Judah, was taken. Now Joshua said to Achan, "My son, I beg you, give glory to the Lord God of Israel and make confession to him. And tell me now what you have done. Do not hide it from men." You think you're getting away with your mess. You're not. At an appointed time, God will bring it out. Verse 20, "And Achan answered Joshua and said, 'Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this is what I have done. When I saw among the spoils a beautiful Babylonian garment, 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold weighing 50 shekels, I coveted them and took them, and there they are hidden in the earth, in the midst of my tent, with the silver under it.' So Joshua sent messengers and they ran to the tent, and there it was, hidden in his tent with the silver under it. And they took them from the midst of the tent, brought them to Joshua and to all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. Then Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan the son of Zerah, the silver, the garment, the wedge of gold, his sons, his daughters, his oxen, his donkeys, his sheep, his tent, and all that he had, and they brought them to the valley of Achor. And Joshua said, 'Why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day.' So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned him with fire after they had stoned him with the stones. Then they raised over him a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Therefore, the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. God is pointing things out. He is bringing the darkness to light. And it is being exposed. He's doing this to bring you to a place of complete repentance. Don't let it take you to the place of your death. Repent and get out of it. I find it very interesting that God never spoke to Joshua and told him that there was sin in the camp. When you look at this story, before they went to battle, never said a word. Joshua made his plans. He got everything all organized. He judged what the battle should look like and feel like. He knew that God was with him and set the battle in motion. Only to find out that his people, the ones that he trusted, were in sin. I want to throw something else out there because this needs to be said. This was the new people that God had raised up. Think about this. They had been 40 years in the wilderness waiting for the dumb ones to die off. So now they've died off, and here they are getting ready to go inherit their promises. And there's still people who want to do their own thing. This wasn't the group that murmured and complained against Moses in the wilderness. This wasn't the group of people that participated in worshiping the golden cow. This wasn't the group that rebelled against Moses and had to be swallowed alive in the ground. However, this was the group that witnessed the miracle that occurred of people dying off by God because of doubt and unbelief. This was a group that saw what happened to those who worshiped the golden cow. And if they were too young to see it directly, they were told by oral tradition, don't do this. It won't be good for you if you do. This was a group that saw what happened to those who died at the hand of God by being swallowed up alive in an earthquake. God never told Joshua that this mess was going on in the camp. He just let him go on. God never told Joshua that people in his camp were worshiping idols and performing witchcraft. Joshua has a wonderful relationship with God. That never changed his relationship with God. Joshua wasn't in sin. The people were in sin. I want you to really think about this because the modern day application just happened to us. They should have won that battle at Ai. Easily, hands down. But people had things in common with the enemy, and God wanted it exposed. God exposed it and dealt with it through Joshua. Joshua didn't play. When he found out what was going on, he didn't play because it cost him a victory that he should have never lost. This is how serious this is. Let's read Joshua 7:25-26 again. And Joshua said, why have you troubled us? The Lord will trouble you this day. So all Israel stoned him with stones, and they burned him with fire after they had stoned him with stones. Then they raised over them a great heap of stones, still there to this day. So the Lord turned into the fierceness of his anger. Therefore the name of that place has been called the Valley of Achor to this day. Joshua wasn't playing with Achan. He removed the sin. He eradicated it. You have to realize something. Joshua and Caleb were with Moses. They saw the miracles. They saw the things that God did for the Israelites while they were in the wilderness. They saw the promised land and were ready to possess that land. They did not want to wait another 40 years for the people to get straightened out. This is the generation that has been waiting for God to move. And God is about to move. Like I said in the very beginning, his agenda is going to take place with you or without you. You just better believe. He doesn't need you. He wants you. He wants to use you, but he doesn't need you. And he will move on because there's plenty of other people he can raise up to do the works. to do the part that you're supposed to do here. You can bring them in a second. When you look at this story, God did not want them to wait either. 40 years is a long time to have to wait for something that is already yours. 40 years is a long time to wait for something that is already yours. It's a punishment that never seems to end. So I can understand how Joshua and Caleb must have felt. The people needed to get it together. Let's put this in modern terms. We're here working for the Lord under Pastor Barber. God calls her to start a revival. We keep bowing down to our idols. We keep an open door to sin in our lives. What happens? God isn't going to be mocked. He stops the revival. It's His grace that stops the revival, so that you still have time to get it together, but you refuse. You make excuses for your sin nature, and then the next thing you know, you have been removed from the church. Wasn't anything the pastor did. It was God. I'm not going to have her stopped anymore. I'm not going to have her miss her blessing anymore. I will just remove you. This is real. This is very real. God's agenda is going to be carried out because God loves Pastor Barbara for her obedience. You might not be allowed to stay here. God will remove you from the camp. Joshua was a warrior at heart. He was right there with Moses, fighting the battles for the Israelites. He never got lifted up in pride or arrogance, but because he had seen his leader have a close walk with God, he desired the same thing. We're going to look at Exodus chapter 24, verses 12 to 15. Exodus 24, 12 to 15. Then the Lord said to Moses, "Come up to me on the mountain and be there, and I will give you tablets of stone and the law and commandments which I have written, that you may teach them." So Moses arose with his assistant Joshua, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. And he said to the elders, "Wait here for us until we come back to you." Took Joshua with him. "Indeed, Aaron and Hur are with you. If any man has a difficulty, let him go to them." Then Moses went up into the mountain, and a cloud covered the mountain. Joshua was one of the 12 spies, and when they were sent out to the promised land, he and Caleb knew they could just take the land because God had given it to them. They knew it was their time. They knew that this is what was supposed to happen. And God had seen Moses move with the cloud, and he knew by experience that he was going to have to move with the cloud as well. So when things change, we can't be grounded in what used to be. We can't be grounded in our conventional warfare mindset. We have to move. We have to shift with the Spirit of God. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 to 6. "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, and being ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled." The United States, as we all know, has several branches of the military service. Navy, Air Force, Army, Marines, Coast Guard, and the National Guard. All of these branches work up under the president, who is the commander-in-chief of the armed forces. They all have a special part that they have to play. The Army can't do the Air Force's job. The Air Force can't do the Navy's job, and so on and so on. This same system God has set up in the church. It's crucial. It's important that you realize that your job is important. Your place, your spiritual warfare place is important. Again, I say we have a covert op team. They do things on the side that nobody knows about. They pray in the spirit, they intercede. Who knows what they do, how they do it, but it gets done. United States military, when they want to go take somebody out, you don't hear about it. All you hear is the day after Libya fell. How did it fall? 6 people went in the middle of the night, dropped out of an airplane with bombs and grenades strapped to them, And they blew everything up and destroyed it. Spiritual warfare. Everybody has a part to play. Yeah, we could have, the United States could have taken a whole troop of Marines in there, an army, and set the Navy up, but it wasn't necessary. It took six people and did the work. So if we have a little covert ops team that's working, let them work. Let them do what God has called them forth to do. Spare the resources. Spare the manpower. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Let's rejoice with them and rejoice for them. Because everybody has a part to play. I want to show you a video of some of the old warfare things that used to go on. And it's going to look kind of crazy because we all know what's going on now, some of the weaponry and the warfare. But you see, you're going to see in these videos an airplane dropping a bomb and it misses the target. You know, you're going to see a tank and it's shooting. It should hit the target, but, you know, because it's not modern, it's not up to date. And God is trying to get us to see that stuff. Yeah, it was good for the moment, for the time, but he wants to give us the better weapons. He wants to give us the better tools. Okay, Brother Brett. There's no sound to this. I just kind of want you to focus on the pictures. I believe this is the one of an airplane and they're showing targets and you should see some smoke where the targets are being hit and disappear. If you can see the little stray lights, they're flashing. And yeah, here's the old bombers. And you should be dropping some bombs. See the smoke down there to the bottom of the screen? This is a little tank warfare. Yeah, they're shooting, blasting. And when you think about this, think about where the church is stuck at in this old stuff. This is the Navy battle. See the little white flashes of light? Those are the bullets that are going. Think about this too. You're fighting with this kind of material, and the enemy's already upgraded. He's already got the better, bigger, newer stuff. And you're content with doing this little mortar shell. It works. But why not get the upgrade? Why not get the better stuff? Is it any wonder that the enemy is destroying the church? Because we're stuck with this weak stuff. Again, in its day, it was top of the line. But it needs to be upgraded. Okay, go to the next video, the new warfare. These things all work together. They have specific functions and supposed to fulfill. Over time, these branches of military have had to adapt to new tactics and techniques that the enemy was using against them. This is the new stuff. And this really isn't that new. There's newer things. We want to be on this level. You shoot something and destroy it. We don't have to keep fighting the same battle over and over and over again. Look at this missile here. It's got its own propulsion system. And God has things in the spirit for us like this to be used. We have to seek Him for it. That's a bunker buster bomb. It went all the way to the bottom. It's designed to go into the ground and destroy that whole fortress. Back in the day, they would have just got the top. the people inside would have still been working, doing their thing. Those bombs there, they shot off from one missile and then they spread. There were so many different little missiles that were attached to it. Hit the target. This is what we want to do to the enemy. We don't want to just be beaten in the air, wasting our energy, wasting our resources. We want to be on target each and every time God sends us out on an assignment. This next thing that is in this clip is they have these laser targeted bombs. They have people that are in the field and they have a target, you know, something that's attacking them, and they point a laser at it, and the missile that comes from the plane goes directly to that target and it destroys it. And you're going to see that coming up in this next clip. All of these new things, the new kinds of warfare, is unconventional. The enemy has this stuff. God wants us to get into this. He wants us to be able to do this work. And be effective. They're going in trying to rescue this woman on this one here. They get her out. They pull her to safety. The enemy didn't have a chance. Yeah, this is the one with the laser. Sorry, I got them mixed up. They're scrambling. Communications. We got to communicate with one another. Where are you at? What are you doing? Stop the friendly fire, shooting each other. The one mind and one accord. This is so important. All right, here he is with the laser. And if you see here, there's three or four of them that's got laser targets on this thing. See all those laser beams? Destroy it. I'm going to say this one last thing. This is John Ramirez. With the onslaught of demonic attacks, there's an urgent call in the true church of Jesus Christ today. It's time to wake up and stop playing patty cake with the devil. We are called to destroy the works of darkness now. And if you ask me how we do that, I'm glad you ask. I believe in my heart that the church should be armed and dangerous by having spiritual warfare ministries, intercessory ministries, and deliverance ministries. All of these things God has set up and spoken to the leaders that they need to have these things set up inside of the church. We have to start flowing with leadership. We have to start doing our part because it's important so that we can be on one mind and one accord and not walk around using those old bombs and those old missiles and being ineffective. This morning, the altar call is going to be for you to get a new weapons package. To shred off that old package, the old way, the old mindset, and have the Lord download this new unconventional warfare package to you. And the altar's open for that now. Just come up front, and you know what to do. This is if you want to get the new thing that God is doing so that you can be on the forefront. He's not going to force it on you if you don't want it. You don't have to have it. You can keep doing insanity all you want to. The same thing over and over and over again.